You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Jimmy James Kidd. Jimmy, thanks so much for being with me today.
Hi, I'm happy to talk with you this morning for me.
So, yeah, you're in Flanders, California, and we're going to talk about your work, but maybe we should just jump into what's happening right now. We're talking on October 28th, just a few days before the election, and we're still in the middle of the pandemic. What's happening in your immediate sphere? And then we'll talk about collaborations and more, but what's happening right now?
Well, this week I am working with my longtime collaborator, dancer person, Perrin Haley McNellis. She drove out from Patagonia, Arizona, and we are working on a dance. Right now it's titled Believers. It feels somewhat strange to be working on a dance piece right now. It's just the two of us. We have made many dances together in the past. We have no performances upcoming. We just have no idea what is happening right now. And even just being in close physical proximity with somebody that, you know, is not my wife, or that you haven't been in a pod with, like, this is a new pod. We're just working together for a week. And so in many ways it feels familiar, but there's also just the great unknown that we are leaping into. I don't know if we're ever going to perform this piece, but in some ways it doesn't matter, because just working on this piece feels really important right now. It's helpful to my sanity, and it just feels really good in my body to be dancing and designing a dance.
Right, of course. And it is a strange time to be performing, because as you're saying, there are no performances coming up. So this work that you're doing isn't going to be performed on Zoom or something else, right? That's not the intention for this to be some kind of virtual performance. Is that correct?
I'm trying to keep the intentions for this piece out of this piece. I just want to try to work and be open to whatever happens with this piece. I want to try to work in a new way. We have been rehearsing on Zoom before we got together this week, but I'm not going to try to make this into a film or do a live stream or do an outdoor performance. I'm not performing this year. I just decided, I mean, it's already the end of this year, but I'm not doing any, I haven't done any performances this year, and I'm not going to do any for the rest of this year. It just is not, for me, a year to be performing. So,
right.
Again, I don't know what I'm doing.
So let's talk about what you're both planning on doing today or this week. What's the plan for working together on this? How do you imagine it coming together? Or maybe we can just talk about the process of the two of you working on together and what you both expect to kind of accomplish after a week.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you a little context. So I used to live in Los Angeles, and I used to have a dance studio there was a community around it. It is called Peter Performance Space, and now it is only online, but it used to be a physical space. And that physical space we had to move out of in July of this year. And I had been working in this big, beautiful studio in Los Angeles for the last 10 years. And it was very amazing in many ways. And it was also, as I'm now discovering, on a or close to a super fun site, so it was also pretty toxic. But, you know, it was a big, beautiful, old loft. Pandemic hit. My wife and I decided to move out to the desert and build ourselves studios. So Perrin and I have been working in a studio that my studio is 330 square feet as opposed to the studio in Los Angeles, which was about 2,000 square feet. And this studio out here in the high desert, I built with my friend, or I was my friend's assistant. So I know every, like, I know what is in the walls of this structure, the standalone structure. And I've been, and I was a concrete foundation, and then I took the floor from the studio in Los Angeles, this wood floor, and so half of it is wood floor. So we are working in a space that is 10 by 15 now, which is also interesting to navigate physically. And then also we look out onto the desert, and there's Goat Mountain to the north and Joshua trees, and that's kind of it, and big sky. And so over the last 10 years in Los Angeles, I ended up in Los Angeles from New York City, where I worked as a dancer for many people and did my own work. And I just had a calling to go back to California. I'm from San Francisco originally, and I ended up in Los Angeles, and I wanted to find my own studio, which I did. And I also wanted to get to find new ways to do, to be dancing, because a lot of the experiences from my upbringing, from classical ballet to Cunningham dance to downtown choreographers in New York, while very amazing and experimental, also were somewhat abusive and dysfunctional. So I was really working towards a place of dancing as a joyful, radical act, and truly a joyful, radical act. I felt like a lot of times in New York City, there were attempts, you couldn't actually be joyful. You could act joyful, you could dance like you were joyful, but actually the joy was not there because the working process was so fucked up.
Speak to that for a minute, because that seems so critical. You know, that is how I associate, like, dance, this kind of, can be radical expression, but also about kind of exuberance and life. And how does it get all fucked up, as you're saying, and pull away from that?
Well, there's lots of control issues, and there's things are changing now, I think, because dancers are having to, I don't really love the term rethink, I would maybe say re-feel, or just like everything is just a re right now for dancers, because we have been typically used to working in groups together and touching each other, so there's that, but growing up, at least what I was fed as an ideology in my classical ballet training was that ballet was the ideal. Ballet was the foundation of dance, and everything else was lesser. So that was just what I was fed So there's, you know, and there are lots of problems with ballet. And then that also fed into a contemporary experimental scene in New York City, and there was lots of very destructive behaviors towards oneself and other people. So lots of emotional abuse, lots of physical abuse. I worked for a person, Sarah Mitchelson, who would say things like, "It's not my movement if it doesn't hurt." And, you know, there's lots of, like, there's lots of phrases in dance, no pain, no gain. And so I always felt in my body that that didn't have to be true, but I didn't know how that could not be true. So that was why I moved back to Los Angeles and opened my own studio, so I could see if that was actually possible. And through working on my own and with other people, I always felt like it would be possible, and I do now more than ever think that it is a possibility to truly be joyful. And it's not that you're shying away from darkness. I mean, there's, you know, it's not that. It's just that you don't have to be an asshole to other people. You don't have to be an asshole to yourself. And, you know, part of it is that in dance, it was, there was, there were just lots of things, like you were supposed to leave your emotional baggage at the door. That was also, that was what I was told growing up. And so you couldn't bring it into the studio. And then your body as a vessel was owned by whoever you were working with. And I just don't believe that that's true. If you're putting somebody else's movement inside of your body, or if you're giving somebody else your own movement, you can't own movement that is in somebody else's body. But in New York City, there was a lot of, you know, that is my movement. And I just, the movement lived in the body. And so you can't just say that somebody else's body or movement is yours. And that is, you know, that's just a personal, that's one thing. But I also found that in working in New York, there wasn't space to talk about any sort of mental health. And I don't totally always love that term. I mean, it's, I guess it's more of like a spirit. Like there was just not, I felt like there wasn't time to be a human. Like you could only be a dancer, which I don't believe in. I feel like dance is a part of life, and I can't be a dancer all the time, but I'm never not a dancer.
Right.
If that makes sense.
That does make sense.
Did that answer your question about the dysfunction?
Yeah,
what?
It does. It's good to have. It's okay. Good that you went through that background and talking about the company. So then what will you both do this week to what's the process for kind of reclaiming that or moving along that path? How do you work together? Or if I can say, what are you making this week?
So I don't totally know what I'm making, but there is definitely going back to the joy in the dance, but the way that we get to the place of joy is to I work with myself in a way where I'm not trying to hurt myself, and I'm always exploring the possibilities of my own body as well as whoever I am working with. And maybe I have to have Perrin give an answer to this question. But I will say before that in Los Angeles, I worked towards a rehearsal structure that is actually pretty highly structured. But the so what I do in the rehearsal with other people, with one other person or 25 other people, is I start with a thing I need to find a new name for, I think, but I call it Quaker Pot, which is where when we get into the studio, we sit in a circle and we talk about whatever we're going to be doing for the day, whatever we did last rehearsal, and also just a general check-in, how we're feeling, thoughts that we might have about what is going on in the world. And I feel like the Quaker Pot is a place to connect to the, not just the outer world, but the inner world and the group dynamic. And dance is a social form most of the time, I believe. And so I always found that in rehearsals with other, like if I was a dancer in other people's rehearsals, there was never really enough time to just talk to each other as humans. And so what would happen is people would do little whispers in kind of around the room as the work was happening, because people want to talk to each other. People want to connect. And so because group dynamic is very important to me, and also just knowing each dancer as a human and being able to express myself to whoever I am working with in the room, and also whether it be a, you know, if a person identifies as a dancer or a musician, who, you know, just that we come together, we talk, and sometimes that can be very long, but I give high value to it because I feel like it's an important part of the process, or my process. And then we do, well, what Perrin and I have been doing, we've been doing a thing called unrestricted breathing, which sounds sort of funny. But so what we do, 5 minutes, we lay on the ground and we just breathe. And it's called unrestricted breathing, but I feel like it just takes the pressure off of breathing, literally.
I like that.
Can speak a little bit more to that. And then what we do, the timer goes off and we do we listen to our bodies and we find three places or parts of our body that are speaking very loudly. And then we go back to our bodies and we do what I call a pleasure scan, and we look for or feel for or sense for places in our body that feel good. And the reason that I wanted to bring that, that's a new thing that I brought into this particular rehearsal process, because it is, I think, culturally the United States or whatever, you know, the culture that I grew up in was you listen to the things that are painful or, very like loudly painful, and there's not I wasn't taught to find the parts of my body or feel the parts of my body that felt good. And so it's been a real practice for us to both go and find, be like, oh, actually what in my body is feeling good at this moment. And because when we first started doing this practice, you know, of course, the first three things that we felt were painful or this, and then it was very separate from, we'd have to like really dig deep to be like, what are the things that feel really good? But the more you do the practice, the more the feeling of the whatever might be feeling great in or good in your body, it actually it comes into the like speaking, it starts speaking louder in your body, I will say. But then when Perrin and I will have a break, and then we'll go back, we'll be like, okay, say we have like 2 weeks where we're not meeting, and then we go do the unrestricted breathing again, then I've noticed that we both default into the painful places speaking up louder. So it's a really like active practice. And so that's, so, and then we go into a thing called Connect and Care, which is just turning on the timer, and we, it's usually about 30 minutes, and we just, it's, you know, could also be considered warm up, and then, but we, there's no, we don't talk, we don't get on our devices, we're just with our bodies, and then we're ready to work. So once we get through all of that, then we actually, then we design the dance. And by that time, you know, I feel very much ready to and wanting to dance.
And let's talk about that part. Maybe Perrin can comment on that. So then, because I'm really glad you said that. It's so fascinating and clear what you said about method and approach. And how does Perrin have any idea about where that will lead to? Or you know, now I'm so aware. It's what you're coming to it with, right? You're both coming with expectations. We're in this time or not, or feelings, or a variety of things. So, Perrin, is there something that that you see that you imagine accomplishing this week? Maybe accomplishing is the wrong word, but working on, moving through. I'd love to hear your take on where Timmy left off, the dancing.
Yeah, well, we've been building up to this week, working actually in person over Zoom for the past month or so, maybe a little longer. And we've been doing, we've been working on some material that Jimmy has like brought into the practice, or like weekend practice, but until this week where we're doing it every day. And it's changed a lot. But she's just been slowly building up this dance, and we've been figuring out how to weave it together. And we've been doing a lot of what we call exquisite corpse, which is like starting with the foundation of some kind of movement that Jimmy has brought and is interested in, and then kind of like build it out through this back and forth, kind of adding on whatever we feel, I guess, called to move into next. And then through that have like kind of built out some material that now we are working through in a more cohesive way, I guess, into some sort of piece, some sort of more unified dance. But it's
about process now, which is what Jim was telling me. It's about process. Mm-hmm. I'm asking you maybe questions about outcome, but essentially it's about process. You're going to be moving and talking a lot this week.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of always been a part of how at least since I have known Jimmy and worked with Jimmy, that's always been kind of how the process goes. But I feel like especially right now when the future of performance feels really unknown. I mean, everything feels kind of unknown, but I think especially performance. It's hard to even know what outcome might be, because it's hard to even imagine what a month in the future will look like, let alone the next 6 months to a year.
That is right. So let me ask you one more question, and then you can pass the phone to Jimmy to ask her the last question.
Okay.
But the last question is kind of just simple. I was wondering what you're reading at the moment.
I've actually been – it's been so hard for me to read this whole year, actually. I feel like I've had a lot of false starts. I normally like really love reading, and I've tried to pick up various books throughout the last 6 months and have had a really hard time focusing. So end up reading a lot of, you know, doing a lot of doom scrolling and reading too much news in the format of short soundbite, you know, Instagram story type of short format, which is generally has been horrible for my body and mind. And I think, I guess, and spirit, in the sense that I feel like I'm like rushing to consume as much information as possible, and that that will somehow somehow is like my is my duty in the situation of the world right now, and that that will somehow help by consuming more information than I will be, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Prepared to exist in the world, but
absolutely, that's really where we're all at.
Getting into the studio and being able to dance, I feel like feels so necessary right now. We're like just being with what you can really count on, you know, the body, and being in community with another dancer person. Yeah, it feels really important right now. I'm reading mostly, and as far as like what I'm actually reading, which is just not not like a novel or anything like that, or essay, is I'm reading a lot of botany, because I'm taking a botany class online.
Cool.
I'm reading a lot of plant identification books. Yeah.
That's cool.
I'll pass you back to Jimmy.
Hi, Jimmy. So, Jimmy, let me just ask you the last question. What are you reading at the moment?
I just finished a really great book called The Wild Kindness by Bette Williams, which is, I guess, a memoir. She takes a lot of mushrooms and works with the mushrooms, but it's not really, she lives in, this person lives in New Mexico, and it's reading it makes me feel like I'm tripping on mushrooms. She's a really great writer. So I just finished that, and then also I am reading in Fits and Starts, A Pattern Language, which is written by a couple architects. I feel like it was in the 60s. But it's about building not just structures, but towns and ideas about building towns.
Yeah,
I've read
A Pattern
structures.
Language.
You've read that?
That's
okay.
A gorgeous book.
Okay.
That's really, well, yeah, but no, but I'm sure readers haven't, but that's a gorgeous book that's really kind of a Bible for a lot of architects and designers,
mm-hmm.
all about proportion and approach in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. And interconnectedness, how everything is mm-hmm. related. And I do feel like I try to design everything. I mean, I make textiles as well, but and building out my own studio taught me a lot about what it is to build a dance, and the way that Perrin and I are working with designing, you know, we have these pieces of dances, because you can only make things in pieces in a way, but when we put them together, it's like you have to really figure out how they can fit together. And the thing that I try to create with a dance and with anything is a thing where energy can flow through it. So with the dance, you can really feel, we talk about when the dance is, if there's a design flaw in the dance, and sometimes the design flaw is realized because we can't remember the actual movement, like our bodies actually rebel against this connection or this piece in the dance. And then sometimes it just looks bad or feels bad or whatever it is, but whatever it is, the design flaw, we have design flaws, and then there's dancer flaws that when the dancers fuck up. But, we've been working, that's something we can really work on together in person in a way we can't on Zoom, these types of design flaws. Like, we can just really go at them pretty fast because we're feeling the energy together.
I like that. Jimmy, I want to thank you and thank you both for talking with me today. Thanks so much, and good luck with your future work together.
Thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.